Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. It is so good to have you with us this morning. I have a couple of announcements because we have quite a bit going on actually this week in the life of the church. Following this service, if you would like to stay, there will be a cooking event in the gym kitchen to fill the freezer. That's what we call it. We have a freezer over there that is just for taking food to people who've had surgery or a death or are facing a harder time. So if you would like to stay and cook for a while, we will offer lunch to all those who stay for a couple hours. There, I've made it sound wonderful, haven't I? Now, also, there have been the Lenten lunch and worship services every Monday in Lent, and tomorrow it is our turn to host. So 12:15 tomorrow, there will be a 30-minute service here in the sanctuary, and there will be lunch offered both before and after in our fellowship hall. So if you would like to come, we would love to have a lot of First Presers there for the 12:15 service with lunch offered before or after. Wednesday, we'll have the return of 8 a.m. prayers, early prayers in the chapel. If 8 a.m. is too early for you, then Phil will also be teaching the 10 a.m. bakery class. He wanted me to let all of you know that he's doing Richard Foster's book, Learning Humility. He's going to be talking about humility. So, one last announcement. There are still scholarship forms on the counter in the office. If you or a child, grandchild, anyone in your life is going to college, university, technical school, any of that, please take a form and have them fill it out. Those are due back by Easter, but we would love to be able to support your family in their educational ventures. So, with all of those announcements behind us, Phil is away this weekend, by the way, with all of those announcements behind us, let us ready our hearts and minds for the worship of God.
Thank you.
Our call to worship this morning comes to us from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake, even though I walk in the darkest valley. I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord, in this holy place, in this sanctuary, we ask that you would realign us again. For we want you to have all the glory. We want you to have all the honor. And so we offer our prayers and our praise, our singing, our words, to your glory. We give you thanks that you have promised to be present among us, and we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in this time of worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen. With boldness, because we trust in the mercy of God, with boldness, we offer our prayer of confession to God and before one another. Let us pray together. There will be a time for silent prayer in the midst of our spoken prayer. Heavenly Lord, we offer our confession to you today. You alone know the ways we have sinned, from our petty ways to the times we forget you, from our unkind thoughts to our offensive acts. Lord, you know our sin. We confess now those ways we have not followed you. Hear our prayer. We continue together. Bring your holiness near to us again and mark us as your own. Continue to change and transform us. In your mercy, we offer this prayer. Amen. I offer to you this day the good news of the gospel. For who is in a position to condemn you? It is only Christ. And Christ died for you. He rose for you. He reigns in power for you. And even now, Christ is praying for you. Know that you are forgiven, and now be people of peace. Let us sing together. You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word to us, let us pray. Lord, you are our rock and our refuge. You are our sure foundation. Without you, how could we even stand? And so we pray, speak to us again today in your word, read and proclaimed. May it be a living word. May your Holy Spirit work in and through, among us and beyond us. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture is one you may not have ever heard in worship. It is part of that long description in Exodus of how to set up God's dwelling place. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, measure it by the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil with you. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the covenant and the table and all its utensils and the lampstand and its utensils and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will also become holy." And a second passage, this week from Mark chapter 14. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. This is the word of the Lord. We are deep into Lent now. We only have one more Lenten Sunday and then Easter Sunday after that. And so far we have considered quite a few ordinary objects in this journey. If you can hearken back, we've looked at coins and bread and last week's shoes. And today we consider the ordinary object of oil. Or as Rachel Ray has taught us all to call it, EVOO, right? EVOO. Now, in our day, we mostly use oil, we think of it with cooking, right? We think of putting a little in the pan before we add something else. And they have cooked with oil for thousands of years, just as we do. And we probably don't use it for this often anymore, but we can picture our ancestors, you know, adding oil to a big lamp to light a room. Oil is utilitarian, it is commonplace, and it was so in Jesus' time as well. Regular olive oil was used for everything. It was everywhere throughout their day, throughout their lives. They would use it from cooking to skin softener to make your hair more lush to a perfume to fuel. Oil was everywhere. You'd keep some near your door so you could dab it on your visitors' feet as a sign of welcome. It was regular oil. And the really good stuff, the really expensive, sweet-smelling, rare stuff, it was well known in Jesus' culture, too. It was used in his day for two things. You thought of two things when you thought of the good stuff. And that was to crown a king and to honor the dead. At a death, a family would anoint their loved one's body with the best oil they could afford, whatever that was, the best they could afford. They would anoint their loved one. And kings, as part of their coronation since long before David, as part of their coronation, they were anointed on their heads with the finest oil. It's why we even have the term Messiah and Christ. Those are the same word in two different languages. They just mean anointed one, Messiah. Anointed one, Christ, anointed one. They believed their Savior would be a king, and they would know him in his anointing, Messiah, right there in his anointing. All this history and this use of oil is swirling around what looks at first like a standard domestic scene here in Mark. Jesus is dining, reclining. We read at a man's home as a guest. And it would have been appropriate as they walked in, right, to have all of them have their feet washed by a servant and maybe even a dab of that oil by the door put on their feet. It would have been expected. Except nothing about this is ordinary. Mark tells us it is 2 days before the Passover. And if you don't hear the eerie music, you should. It is 2 days, Mark says, before it's all going to happen. A murder plot has begun. And we read that right after this incident, Judas will be tipped into his path of betrayal. The tension at this dinner is high. And darkness is encroaching. Into this setting walks a woman. Unnamed, unknown, and we think, well, she will open the lid of perfumed oil and she will dab a bit on Jesus' feet and she will leave. That's what's expected. Except she doesn't. All four Gospels make sure to tell this story. In one form or another, they all say she didn't take the lid off. They say she didn't use just a little. Instead, we read that she cracked the jar open, destroying the container, and the good stuff, it had been imported from India, the good stuff she poured not on his feet, but all over his head. As near as we can guess, it was about $25,000 worth in today's money of oil. $25,000. All over his head. And she used it all. This story is sandwiched between these two episodes where people are talking about how cheap Jesus' life is. How cheap it is. When can we kill him? How much is he worth? And right here in the middle, her extravagant action says that Jesus is worth it all. It flashes this sort of neon-like question. It flashes this neon-like question for us today in every part of our lives. What is worth it all? What is worth it all? Is Jesus worth it all to me? To you? And if he is, then what is all this worth? It reminds me of a story one of my preaching heroes, Fred Craddock, once told. Perhaps you've heard it before, I don't know. Here's how he told it. He said, Glenn Adsit, a schoolmate from years ago, ministered mostly in China. He was under house arrest in China when the soldiers came one day and said, you can return to America. They were celebrating, and the soldiers said, you can take 200 pounds with you. Well, they'd been there for years. 200 pounds. They got the scales out, and they started the arguments, two children, a wife, and a husband. You know how it would go. I just must have this vase. And I need the computer. Well, what about my books? What about this? What about that? They weighed the stuff. They took this off. Then that. They weighed it again. Finally, they got things right on the dot. 200 pounds. The soldiers returned and asked, ready to go? Yes, Glenn said. You weigh the kids? No, we didn't. He replied, weigh the kids. And Fred Craddock ends the story saying, and in a moment, the vase and the books and everything became trash. Trash. What is worth it all? Only a handful of things. Only one thing? Is Jesus worth it all? And if he is, then what is all the rest of it worth? You know, one of the really interesting things we find in the gospel is that Jesus hardly ever referred to himself as Christ, as the anointed one. Almost never. Almost never. For example, in Mark's gospel, his favorite title for himself is Son of Man. Son of Man, it's a humbler title. It can even just kind of mean the human being, a human. That's the title he gives to himself 12 times in Mark, and only twice in Mark does he accept the title of Christ. So hardly ever. And we don't know why that is. Perhaps it's because He knew his anointing wasn't going to be like the coronation they thought it would be. They weren't ready. Perhaps it was because he knew it would be about burial, that the kind of Christ he would be is the crucified kind, and they weren't ready. Whatever it was, he just didn't call himself that very often, and not many other people called him that either. But after his death, they couldn't stop saying it. From then on, Jesus was Christ, and Christ was Jesus, so much so that children in every era have sat in churches believing for years that they were his first and last names. That's how intertwined Jesus became with Anointed One, Christ. And it happens here. It happens on this night at a man's house during dinner by a woman whose name we will never know, but by whose actions we will forever remember it. When she poured that oil on his head, we were all shown who Jesus is. He's the Anointed One. He is Christ. And when she poured all of it, all of that oil, we were shown what he is worth. That he is worth it all. Jesus, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, in his anointing, we learn what is actually important and what's in the way. You know, they thought it would involve a crown and a throne, but that's just a hat and a chair when weighed against Jesus. It's just trash. It's just trash. He's the Anointed One. He's the Christ who would not take human power, who would not embrace human riches or be satisfied by what does not last. In his anointing, he knows what is worth it all. Reclining at that dinner, I want you to picture him there, covered in oil for his burial. He knows what is worth it all, and shockingly, he believes we are worth it all. It's one of the great mysteries of Jesus, the one who is worth everything, gives his life because we are worth everything to him. I don't get it. And because we know him, because we're supposed to know him, then we're supposed to be the people who know what's worth it all and what's just a hat and a chair, what's just trash. You know, I am grateful that we are not called the Son of Manians. That would be a very strange group to be a part of, right? I'm a son of Manian. It does not roll off the tongue. We are Christians. We are Christians. We are the people who follow the Anointed One. And in his anointing, he showed what was worth everything. We're supposed to be the people in this world who are his body in this world. We show with the choices we make. We show with how we live differently. We show with how lightly we hold to the trappings of this world. We are the ones who show the world what has worth. You know, Jesus said it would be so, and so far it has. He said that this woman will be remembered forever for what she had done. And we're 2,000 years along now. It's held true. And oil is such an ordinary thing. I don't know where you keep yours. I don't know if you have some in the cabinet or by the stove, or if all you have is mustard in your fridge, and so you just need to look for it the next time you're at Walmart. But the next time you see a bottle of oil, so ordinary. But I want you to remember what she did, who he is. And I want you to remember that you won't be remembered for as long as she has been, probably. I won't either. But you will be remembered, at least for a little bit. And when you look at that oil, that bottle of oil, as a Christian, When all the weighing is done and you look at that bottle, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? Amen. We have many things to pray about today. I want to offer to you two prayers to add to our community worship today. First, for Leslie and Billy Clark's son, Ty Clark. They are in Houston awaiting test results on possible cancer for Ty. So please keep him and that whole family in your prayers. And also, tomorrow, our brother Neil Crow is undergoing a craniotomy. He has cancer in the brain, and he undergoes surgery tomorrow. So please, let's keep Neil and his wife Candy in our prayers. Let us pray. Lord, you are all in all. You are everything. Help us to live that truth. In small ways, in big ways, help us to live that truth. We ask that as we continue on this journey with you, that you would show us what is worth everything and what is just trash. Help us to live as your people in this world. Help us to live as those who have the name Christian. We thank you for the many blessings that you have showered upon our lives this week. Help us to see them more and more. Help us to recognize them with open hearts. We thank you now for the ways, big and small, that you have been present with us in these past days. And Lord, sometimes we can feel we have so little we can do. We are so small in the face of tragedy. Help us to remember, strengthen within us that when we pray, our prayers reach all the way to heaven. And so today we pray. We pray for all of those corners of your world that are struggling, where people are grieving or afraid. We pray this day for the people of Mississippi, especially for all those who have lost a loved one. We pray this day for Ty as he awaits results. We pray this day for Neil as he undergoes surgery tomorrow. And we offer to you now, aloud and in the silence of our hearts, prayers for particular people and situations. Hear our prayers. Lord Jesus, you have brought us this far. Carry us further, we pray. Only you know what we are facing. Only you know what the days to come involve for us. And so we pray, give us the strength we need. Give us the perseverance peace, which surpasses all understanding. Equip us with all of the gifts that we will need in the days to come. It is in your name that we offer this prayer, and together we pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would like to give an offering after worship, you can at the basket here or at the entrances. This music now is an offering to the glory of God.
I hear the Savior say,
us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the offering of this music, this worship, this time in the community of faith. We pray that all of it is to your glory and in honor of you. And we pray that you would take our lives, our talents, our efforts, our energies, our time, and that they would be acceptable to you, that they would be to your glory. It is in your name that we ask it, and together we say, Amen. Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once more into these doors. The peace of Christ be with you. Please greet one another in his name.